This morning, a question comes up is, who does your religion please? And it's a very important lesson, because as we're going to look at this, we're going to see there's only three possible answers to this question. And we're going to talk about all three of them. And there's quite a bit here, so I'm going to get started. Why do people do what they do? Well, because they want to. That's obvious. We understand that. We should be particularly interested when it comes to why people do what they do in matters of religion. And why do people join a particular denomination? Why is this person a Catholic, that person a Baptist, another a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon? We might even put in Muslim or Buddhist or whatever. Why are they what they are? And God's Word speaks of the different motivations that men might have in practicing different forms of religion. And so Paul asks the question of religious motivation in writing to the Christians of Galatia. He wrote, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul considers two of the things we're going to be talking about this morning. So not all who are religious have the right motivation. And we understand that. And we'll see that as we go along. The wrong motivation to be religious leads to religious error. And the right motivation in religion is necessary for one to be right in his religion. But we're going to look at these three possible answers. And we're going to find out that there is only one right way to be religious. Now, who does your religion please? Does it please men? And we're going to see that maybe even some of our own number are in this category. There are many who are religious to please others. We know that. Perhaps they belong to a particular church because they are trying to please their parents or their grandparents or their children or their husband or wife, good friends, or maybe their clients or their boss. And some of us have probably seen that. You know, King Ahab sought to please his wife in religion. Says, but there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And that was in 1 Kings 21, verse 25. And so here's some things that I have seen. And I'm sure many of you have seen some of the same things. A man leaves the Roman Catholic Church for the Church of Christ to please his wife. And then several years and two children later, he left the Church of Christ for the Baptist Church, where his boss was a member, and apparently to please his boss in hopes of career advancement. See the motivation. And his wife and kids just went along to the Baptist Church with him to please him. There was a fellow who was baptized and joined a particular church and started selling insurance to everyone in the church that he could. When he ran out of clients in the church to sell insurance to, he stopped attending church there and joined a different church so he could have more clientele. He was religious to please others so that he might sell them insurance. And it doesn't have to be insurance. It could be any number of things. See, we have seen those who became religious for a while. And we're probably aware of that. Jesus talked about these people. They simply to please their future husband or wife. Then after getting married one day, they decide they don't care about pleasing their husband or wife in religion anymore. And they're not religious anymore. We've all seen that. This is also a big problem in foreign evangelism. Here's one of the problems that many preachers face when they go into the foreign countries. We hear of hundreds obeying the gospel when our preachers go there. And the preachers, when they go, they take money and take supplies. And these people are willing to hold out their hands and receive these things. But then we turn and hear these same people turn around and obey other missionaries from other groups and take their money. So what is their motivation? We find out real quickly what their motivation is and who their religion pleases. Whoever can take care of me. And so I'm sure that many of us have seen many similar situations. Now, Jesus warns about those who practice religion to please men. Matthew 6, 1 through 8, in our scripture reading this morning, Jesus said to beware of these people because they're out there, they're just trying to get the accolades for themselves. They're trying to receive the glory for themselves, and they don't care about God. They don't care about others. They just want people to heap praises on them. And I'm sure we know people like that. And this warning applies to those who practice their religion to please their family. Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Matthew 10, 37. So the question, do you practice your religion to be seen of and to please others? Now let's face it, some of our young people, in order to get mommy and daddy off their back, well, I'll just go ahead and get baptized. Then they'll leave me alone. They'll quit harping on me about this. And we know this is the case for some people. And so you just have to examine yourself and understand, what is my motivation? Why was I baptized? Why do I do what I do? Is it to please others? Or is it to please God? Who does your religion please? Well, obviously, you please yourself. Everything we do is to please ourselves. And we cannot deny that fact. That's the way the whole world operates, is to please ourselves. And this is the most prominent of what we will discuss today. Moses warned the Jews in seeking to please themselves in their religion. Says, "Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes." It says there was a problem back in the days of Moses. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And that time and again, that's exactly what they did. They were religious, but their religion was to please themselves and not to please God. During the period of Judges, there was a lot of religion practiced, but it says in two places, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They didn't follow the rules. They didn't abide by the rules. They set up their own priesthood. They set up their own worship practices. And whatever they decided they were going to do, that's what they felt was acceptable religion. Does that sound like today in our world? Exactly it does. And King Saul, he's an example of one whose religion was to please himself. He went and won a battle. He came back and was supposed to meet Samuel at Bethel, and Samuel delayed. It does not come right away. So Saul offered the sacrifice. And of course, this was contrary to God's word because priests were to offer sacrifice. Not the royalty, not anybody from any other tribe. The priests were to do it. So Saul offered the sacrifice, being religious before God, letting everybody see, hey, look at me, I'm religious. I'm offering this sacrifice. And Samuel asked about it. But what did Saul do? Saul's answer was all about Saul. I is what he said. And what he wanted to do, what would please Saul. Then Saul blamed Samuel, well, because you were running late, I had to do it myself. I mean, that was his attitude. And so when Saul failed to destroy the Amalekites, in 1 Samuel 15, Saul had all sorts of excuses. He started off blaming the people. Then he said, but we did it for a good reason, to serve our sacrifices to the Lord your God. But what it came down to, Saul did what he wanted to do. Now, isn't that what most people do? People are going to do what they want to do. Doesn't matter what the Bible says. I mean, I talked to someone yesterday. We were talking about a guy who knew the Bible 30 years, been studying the Bible 30 years. He still didn't get it. He still didn't understand it. Because he didn't want to. We have the example of Jews left in the land after the destruction of Jerusalem. They told Jeremiah, tell him what God wanted him to do. And here's what they said to him, which is absolutely stunning and right. He said, whether it is pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of our Lord our God, to whom we send you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Now that's the right attitude. That's the attitude we all should have when we ask someone, what does the Lord want us to do? That's the attitude we should have. But their words sound like so many people today. But what they actually did was please themselves. When Jeremiah told them what the Lord commanded, they rebelled against the Lord. And they did what they wanted to do. They said to Jeremiah, you speak falsely. And they do the same thing when we read from the scriptures and tell them this is what God says. You speak falsely. We're charged with that same thing. So Jeroboam set up golden calves and altars in the northernmost city of Israel, and Dan, and one in the southern city of Bethel. The gods were false. The altars were false. The priests were false. The whole religion stunk of falsehood. And we read about that in 1 Kings chapter 12. And why did so many Israelites accept it without a complaint? You wonder how all these people who were Jews would just go along with this. Well, we see Jeroboam knew they would accept it because their religion was to please themselves and not God. He said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. All Jeroboam had to do to convert these people to a false religion was to make it more convenient for them. And that's how a lot of people today are. As long as it's convenient. How many today belong to a particular denomination because it pleases them? Many are like Ricky Nelson's line in the song Garden Party, singing can't please everyone, so you gotta please yourself. And that's how so many people are when it comes to religion. I can't please everyone, so I gotta please myself. And this is the religion of many people today. It is a religion of, by, and for self. And the worshiper's words may profess, I worship God, but their deeds ignore him. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Titus 1, verse 16. Their religion is found upon what I think, what I feel, what I believe. How many times have you been in a conversation and heard those same things? Well, I think it should be this way. I feel, or it seems to me. The emphasis always being upon I, upon me. This is how I see it. We run across that. Perhaps they want convenience. Perhaps they want the church to entertain their children. Perhaps they want to be entertained themselves. Perhaps they want their religion to have plenty of social activities to keep them busy. You know what? I've even had people come up and into services where I preach, and they asked me, they didn't ask me about what the church teaches or what Bible lessons and the classes were about, but what social and recreational programs the church had for them and their children. That's what they based their attendance on. Their motive, their interest, and desires are evident. It's what they want. It's not what they need. They want Jeroboam's religion of convenience to please themselves. And they are not seeking to please the Lord. But let's talk about the right one. Who does your religion please? Does it please God? That's where we need to focus ourselves and need to make sure that what we do in religion pleases God. The Lord Jesus always did what was pleasing to the Father. His life was entirely determined by the will of God for him, and doing that will, Jesus found pleasure. You know, John 4:34, John 5:30, John 6:38, because Jesus pleased God. When we please God, there should be joy in that. Jesus said, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." John 8:29. So do you always seek to do those things that please God? Or do you always do those things that please yourself? That's what we have to look at and examine ourselves. So when you seek to please others or yourself rather than God, the Father is no longer with you. You don't have God in your life. You have a false God. You have a pseudo God, a fake God. But you don't have the real God in your life if your religion is to please others or yourself. Even if what you're doing is religious. Jesus did not live selfishly to please himself. It says in Romans 15, "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." The emphasis here being Christ did not please himself. Christ did what he had to do, what he knew his Father wanted him to do. And that's what we need to do. But he didn't please himself. And that's the attitude we should have. We shouldn't be doing this to please ourselves. Do we seek to please God in our religion? God was pleased under the law of Moses for those who sought to please him. It says, "For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant." Isaiah wrote this about certain individuals who took the time to do what God wanted them to do. Most of the other Jewish people, they abandoned these things long before. They stopped observing the Sabbath. They stopped observing and bringing him sacrifices. They stopped living the way God wanted them to live. But God took pleasure in those who did what he wanted them to do. And I'll tell you the truth, he'll do the same today. It has not changed. When people do what God wants them to do, God is going to be well pleased. Trying to please God should always be our aim. And Paul wrote, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him." That should be our aim for each and every one of us. We should be well pleasing to the Lord. And how are we well pleasing to the Lord? Is it because we say praise the Lord or amen or stuff like that? When we say religious stuff? No. We're well pleasing to the Lord when we do what he tells us to do. And how we speak should be to please God. In 1 Thessalonians 2:4, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." Paul said, we could have come and preached these smooth words to you, and you could have heaped praises on us. But no, we didn't do it to please us or to you. We did it to please God. And what did Paul preach? He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not a watered-down version like so many try and do today. And then how we walk, live our lives, should be to please God. "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1. How we live our lives should be with the aim to please God. And we need to learn what pleases God and do those things and stop doing anything for which he is not pleased. That means we need to learn what his word says and do those things. So let's just look at a few things. What pleases God? Faith. It says, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We need faith, and not just any kind of faith. We read in James chapter 2 that faith without works is dead. It doesn't do any good, so it needs to be a living, active, obedient faith. And we read about there in Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 16, the obedience of faith. A faith that causes us to obey God. Obedience. That's what pleases God. Some people talk about faith, but they leave the obedience out of it. Well, I have faith in God, but they don't do what He says. James tells us, but prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. He didn't say prove yourselves thinkers of the word, because that's how some people actually operate. Oh, they think about the word of God, they know what the word of God says, but they don't do it. What is that going to prove in the end? When they stand before God and God just simply asks the question, did you do what I asked you to do? No, they didn't do it. We need to prove ourselves. The idea of prove yourself is like standing in a court trying to prove you're innocent. I am a Christian. I am a child of God. I deserve heaven. Why? Because look what I have done. And we do what God tells us to do. And there are so many whose real motive in religion are revealed at this point. They want to say they have faith, but they don't follow God's word. They want to say they're obedient, but their obedience is self-concocted, self-made religion is what they do. When someone begins denigrating obedience to the will of God and speaking of a higher spirituality, oh, we don't need the Bible. We have a higher spirituality. Let's translate that. You can be sure their conduct, your concept of religion and spirituality is whatever pleases them and makes them feel good. Don't you realize most people, their religion needs to make them feel good? They don't care what pleases God. They just want to please themselves. And this is a pseudo-spirituality which emphasizes the person's feeling above what God commands. Notice in 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You want the blessings of God, but yet you're not willing to work towards those blessings. You're not going to get them. But if you want the blessings of God, what are you going to have to do? Keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And the scriptures are full of things that we can do to be pleasing in His sight. But we know many do not act this way in their religion. While some of what they do in their religion may agree with part of what God has commanded, their motive is not to please Him, but rather everything they do is to please themselves. And they do exactly what they want to do, regardless of what God instructed. Have you ever wondered why there's so many different religious bodies out there? All claim to have a relationship with Jesus, all doing and teaching different things, all using the exact same Bible. Here's what it gets down to. Regardless of what God has instructed, they're going to do what they want to do. What pleases God is doing good works by doing His will. Hebrews 13:21, as he ended up the whole chapter, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. I mean, we should be doing that working which is well-pleasing in His sight. Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. These are things that are pleasing in His sight. Now, what does not please God? Well, some of this is obvious. Sin. Sin is lawlessness. That's what it is. 1 John 3:4. Sin is lawlessness, or acting without the law, and specifically acting without the law of God. 1 Corinthians 10:5. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Speaking of the Israelites of old who turned their back on God and did what they pleased, God was not pleased with them. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans chapter 8, in fact, the whole book of Romans talks about this and warns us, people who sow to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. I mean, that's what it's all about. And people who live by what their body wants them to do, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, they cannot please God. And if you cannot please God, you cannot go to heaven. It's just that plain and simple. And then disobedience to his will does not please God. Micah 6:7-8. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. You don't have to put on some show of religion to be pleasing to God. You simply got to do what he tells you to do and be humble before him. It's easy to understand. Once again, Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You have to examine ourselves. Are we pleasing men by our attendance, by our faithfulness, by the things that we do? Are we pleasing ourselves? Or is our true motivation in pleasing God? Examine yourselves here. We're commanded that, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine ourselves. And then answer the question, who does your religion please? We need to consider this and keep it in our minds and understand these things. If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're not pleasing to God. It's just that plain and simple. And if you stood before him in judgment today or tomorrow or any day, he will just tell you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, you who practice iniquity. We have to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have to be in a relationship with God in order to be accepted of him and pleasing to him. And we please him when we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we repent of our sins and change our ways. When we confess his name before others. We're baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. And then we struggle and strive the rest of our lives to be faithful unto him. That is what is pleasing to the Lord. Some have gone through that process, but yet they've turned their back on him to please themselves. It's time to get back in a relationship with God. Confess your sins, and he will forgive your sins. If we can help you in any way, we stand ready to assist you while together we stand and sing.